This morning, I want to talk about where we are in the body of Christ right now, where we are in our lives. In Joshua chapter 5, beginning in verse 9, I don't know if you realized it, but there's a new season that has dawned. It's not dawning, it's here. I don't know if you realize it, but we've wandered already from the wilderness sands and the view's changing, and we have entered into an entirely new season. You still may see cactus everywhere and see sand in your feet, but things are changing. And they're gloriously changing. And we are in Joshua chapter 5, verse 9. It says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day." Look at verse 12. "And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." Look at verse 12. It's a life word. "And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." May God bless the reading of His Word. We are at a strategic point in Israel's history. They've been wandering in circularity for 40 years in the wilderness. And how many of you know when God wants to instruct us, He lets us walk in circles? He doesn't have to do much of anything. He just has us walking in circles. The symbol of the Christian life is not a circle, though. It's a spiral. When you go around, you're to learn a lesson and go up a level. But we Christians are like sheep. We usually just go around the mountain and poop and poop and walk and poop until we've got such a rut and we're down in such a dirty rut, we can't possibly get ourselves out. Well, the children of Israel broke 40 years of the cycle of circularity. God brought them with a high and mighty hand into the promised land over the river Jericho. And now they had the new high place, a new perspective, and a new hope for their future. And the Bible says, the day they ate of the corn of the land, the manna ceased. Now, what is manna? Most of you know what manna is. If you go to the book of Exodus and you see that God in His mercy rained down this amazing substance every single day, we're going to find out it was equal to 6 pints a day per person for 40 years. Let me give you some interesting statistics. That's 12 million pints of manna a day for 40 years that God rained upon the people. In pounds, that's 9 million pounds a day God allowed manna to fall. 4,500 tons a day. This is like, look at this analogy. 10 trains that each have 30 cars and each car has 15 tons in it. That equal one day's provision of manna. You could go one day's direction walking in any direction and the ground was covered 36 inches deep in manna. What was it? Well, the Bible says it was food provided from God. It came from heaven. It was sweet to the taste. It was white like coriander seed. It was, you could bake it, you could cook it, you could just scoop it up with your hand, and you were allotted a certain portion a day, and your appetite dictated how much you would have or not. And for 40 years, God faithfully rained this down. Now, it came from heaven. It did not originate in the earth. You know, well, we think manna wasn't actually a gum that came from a tree. 2 million people. So we're getting down to, the Bible would calculate about there would be a million tons annually of this stuff on a daily basis. Don't think it has a naturalistic explanation. They were in the wilderness. They were starving. It was impossible that they could survive. And so God rained down from heaven, and I might add, by grace, to a murmuring, complaining people. Loved one, how many of you notice God's grace continues even when you're in sin? He causes the rain to fall on the just as well as the unjust. Even when you're not right with God, He still brings rain on the just and the unjust. He still caused manna to rain down. Now, I would have rained down justice and brimstone. It's just my opinion. And yet God rained down manna and He brought the provision. But I want you to see something about manna. We're going to talk about manna. It's because it was a great miracle. It was a wonderful thing that God provided. How many of you know my God will give manna? Well, it's wonderful, but manna was a good thing. It was never the best thing. The daily miracle provision of manna was only proof that they were still in the wilderness and they were still walking in circles and they still had not attained the best God has for them. Miracles are wonderful, but they're not God Himself. We want the gift giver, not the gifts. We want the blesser, not the blessing. God so wants to be sought for himself. He wants to be loved as an end in and of himself, not as a means to an end. And as wonderful as the miracle of manna was, it represented an inferior form of life. It represented, manna never took a city for them. Manna never destroyed a giant for them. Manna was never used to open the way for them to get into the promised land. It never got them out of the wilderness. It was only a daily provision that allowed them that day to survive another day in the wilderness. I think the Lord's wanting to break a manna mentality in all of us. You know, God wants us to move from a manna mentality to a Canaan mentality, where we move away from the, oh, I'm just making it, and I'm just surviving. Is God going to come through one more time? Oh, my God. Oh, he did. Oh, you know, that's wonderful, and he does provide. But, you know, that can cause a manna mentality to eke into our lives. And manna actually was a good thing. It wasn't the best thing. Manna was a temporary provision for the people. It was never God's ultimate intention for them. He wanted them out of the wilderness, out of circularity, out of just getting by, out of just daily hoping and praying and wondering, and another 10 years go by. He wanted to bring them from circularity into a straight line of conquest. He wanted to bring them to the new corn of the land. I believe with all my heart that we are leaving a manna mentality, and we're leaving a season of wilderness circularity where God has had to provide that way, and it's wonderful. But you know what? He wants more for us. And I'm not just talking about money in the bank. How many of you know God wants everyone to have a Rolls Royce? No, he doesn't want everyone to have a Rolls Royce. That's a lie. So if you're believing for a Rolls Royce and that doesn't sync up with your need in ministry, you'll never have it. Sorry to rain on your parade. Your Bentley isn't going to come in the mail. If you don't need some of these things, don't look at someone else's life and then make that the standard for your life, all right? So what we need to realize is manna was a temporary fix. God wanted them not to fall in love with the miracles, but to fall in love with him. And for 40 years, they just kvetched. They complained. They murmured. Can you imagine murmuring? I don't like to hear kids murmur. You know, what's this filet mignon? God, do you have any macaroni and cheese? Doesn't that irk you as a parent? Just to, you know, you work your butt off and you spend a pile of money and they go, I don't want to go out to dinner. You don't want to go out to dinner? We used to kill other children for the privilege of going out to dinner. Once a week. Kill the child and we'll take you out to dinner. Okay. Now the kids go, I don't want to go out. You know, it's like, you know, even a little murmuring sort of gets you in the back. 40 years, these adults complained. Manna, manna, shmanna. Would that we were back in Egypt near the flesh pots where we ate to the full. Oh, your memory gets distorted when you're going in circles. It was horrible. It was a nightmare. It was terrible. But you know, manna represents God's provision, yes, but in an inferior way. He was just allowing them to survive and get by. But manna is a temporary provision that we all too often try to make God's permanent intent for us. It's temporary. There are manna people in your life. God brings them in for a season for your survival, but you're not to cling on to them as a final destination because they're not going to be there for the final destination. There are manna jobs. You may get a job and God provides it, but it's only a temporary fix for the moment, but it's all of him. But you know, it's never your ultimate destination. So you cling loosely to the thing, you hold loosely to it because it goes all of a sudden and you go, oh, God gave it to me. He gave you a manna blessing. It's a short-term fulfillment, never to speak of the long-term final situation. There are manna business situations you get into. There's manna friendships you get into. There's manna relationships. There's manna churches. There's manna ministries God brings into your life for a season of time and they meet one need. And you were never to marry that ministry. Well, I don't understand. Understand, it's a temporary blessing, but we too often cling to temporary blessings as though they're the permanent destination, and that's not what manna was. God's intent was that manna would meet the need for the moment, but point them to him and point them beyond to their future. So I want you to notice something. Manna is wonderful, but it never took a city. It never took down a giant. It never opened the way and brought them into the promised land. In fact, it didn't do anything but sustain them in a horrible place. Think about it. That's like God sustaining you in the belly of a prison. I mean, you're grateful. You know, wouldn't want to complain, but I'd really like to get out of the belly of the prison and maybe breathe some fresh air, but I don't want to be presumptuous. See, sometimes, I remember Pastor Dave Owen used to talk about a spirit of poverty. A spirit of poverty. That's what I think a manna mentality is, a manna mindset. We've all just been getting by in so many ways, spirit, soul, body, emotionally, intellectually. We've all been just getting by, that we've gotten used to just that hand-to-mouth existence, and God is pointing beyond that. And he's saying, you know what, I've got to wash that sand off your feet. You know, that's where you've been. It's totally okay, but we're going to move into Canaan, and we're going to eat of the new corn of the land, and you're going to see a development of new talents, gifts, and abilities that are more oriented to your destiny. Someone say amen. Did you have your coffee this morning? Okay. Wave a hanky. Wave another. Wave a child at me. Wave a chair. But you see, manna situations are temporary. They're only temporary. They don't last forever. See, manna, if you kept more than the portion you were allotted for that day, it rotted, got worms in it, and it befouled the whole camp. Do you remember the story? God said, 6 pints, I only get a certain amount. Now, on the Sabbath, they could get double that because they were going to have to not work for one day. But I want you to notice the manna. You had to get down on your knees to pick it up. You had to stoop down to pick it up off the ground. It fell silently every night. It came at night. It came in the wilderness. It came to right where you were. Isn't God wonderful the way he miraculously designs provision? But it wasn't his best. It was a good thing. So it just means the theme of the message is it's a new season. It's going to get really exciting. God's going to start providing for you in new ways. He's going to start opening new doors. He's going to start breaking circularity and moving you into a spiral. But you can get the word picture. He's moving us from the manna mentality to the Canaan mentality. Because I want you to notice something. While they were eating manna and God's temporary provision for 40 years, they didn't take any giants down. The enemies in the land were not threatened by them. See, when the enemies of God watch us walk in circles because we need to be disciplined, they're not threatened. But did you know in Joshua chapter 5, verse 1, it says, when they went into the land and ate the corn of the land for the first time, that means they harvested their own corn. They used their gifts and abilities and their ingenuity in a new way, witty inventions in a new way. They were loosed to finally find their own land, their own destined place. When they harvested of the land God gave them and they ate the first meal prepared in a new way, it says the manna ceased, never came back again. Oh, the poor man. No, let it go. I don't know, but I don't want to live hand to mouth my whole life. You know, I'm talking about spiritually and emotionally and every other way. I don't want to live from crisis to crisis. I want a momentum to kick in that will allow us to move into Canaan, move into conquest, and let us eat in a new way and let God provide in a new way. And we're not just talking about money because the Bible doesn't promise all of us riches. Sorry, it's just not there. You should have told the Apostle Paul that. Darn. 2/3 of the books of the New Testament, and poor dumb Paul didn't know that. Chained to a prison guard most of his ministry life in the belly of a Roman prison, poor Paul didn't catch that he was writing the prosperity message. If he had his Rolex, he would have been able to see what time it was. And there's nothing wrong with the things of this world. Do you understand? But that's not what it's not about what it's about. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But seek the things, and you get none of them. You seek the things in and of themselves, you get nothing. And we're so frustrated all the time. See, I think this is a category mistake. What I mean by that is we want God to keep giving the manna kind of provision to us. Now, let me step on some toes, okay? The most important thing you can have as a Christian is a knowledge of God's word, the Bible, right here, the word of God. This is the corn of the land. How many books are in the Bible? Who wrote the books? What's the book about? It's not one book. It's 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. Testament means covenant. This is God's love letter to mankind. What does it say? What does it mean? You can spend the rest of your life studying the treasure trove of the word of God and you will never come to an end. But you know what? God would rather have you die studying his word and learning the content of his word than just going to Sister So-and-so all the time for a manna word. That's right. Who needs to read the Bible when you can get online and contact 15 prophetic ministries and get a prophetic word every 30 minutes of every day for the next month? You got a pipeline to the center and circumference of the universe. What do you need God for? You've got the oracles. You don't need to learn who's Isaiah, when did he write, why did he write, who did he write to. You don't need to learn any of that because you can just press your eyes, see the funny lights, and cut right to a manna, rhema, blessing. Now, do you see? Now, hold on. Don't get offended. Manna provision is wonderful, but it's only for the moment to sustain you in a difficult place. It is never God's. His intent is that we move from rhema words to understanding the full totality of his word. That's why we do Bible classes, and that's why we study Christ in the tabernacle, and that's why we look at the Old Testament in Christ, and that's why we try to learn the content of this book, because in the middle of the night, this is what's going to keep you alive, your relationship with Christ and your knowledge of his word, not a liver quiver and a manna provision. They're important, but you know, you don't just eat icing all the time. You need a little cake. See, you know what I'm saying? If you just eat icing all the time, your sugar's going to, you're going to go nuts, right? In the body of Christ, we're eating icing all the time. It's not all about icing. You need a little cake. See, we need meal and oil balanced together, and we have bread. But notice, God brought them from the manna experience, from a manna place, and it really was a miracle-centered walk. Do you know that miracles never, never cause faith to rise in the heart of an unbeliever? Why, if we just had more miracles? Hold on. Matthew tells us in his gospel, woe unto you, Bethsaida, Chorazin, and Capernaum. Those were the three cities that he hung out in. It's like saying, woe unto you, Thousand Oaks, woe unto you, Westlake, woe unto you, Simi Valley. Jesus said, if the miracles that were done in you were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. Did you know miracles don't change human hearts? They don't. They just make people more dependent upon another miracle. Remember Jesus said, you all came to me because you had dinner yesterday. I fed the 5,000. Now you've come back. You have no interest in God. You have no interest in the kingdom. Your hearts are not open for spiritual things. You want a manna blessing. You want me to produce Big Macs. Like a magic trick. Doug Henning and Jesus. Pull a magic trick. That's what they wanted. They weren't there for spirit. Jesus, in fact, said only one out of four is legit. That means three out of every four people that are sitting in a church meeting or a gospel meeting think they're at Costco. They have no clue. They're just looking at their watch, trying to figure out when the next AA meeting is or what movie they are going to see at 2:30. Jesus said, look, don't let crowds fool you. They're more manna Christians than they are Canaan Christians. You understand? So manna Christians lack discernment. Manna Christians are a little immature. Manna Christians don't have any root in themselves. Manna Christians are always in trouble 24 hours a day because they don't know God's word, and they don't have their own intimate relationship with God because they're always trying to suck that out of you. Now, I love you, but I can't live your spiritual life for you. I love you and I'll pray for you, but I can't pray your life for you. You have to have your own prayer life. You have to feed yourself. We have Sylvia Owen coming next week. Pastor Dave Owen used to say, when people came up and said, Pastor Dave, I'm not fed here anymore. And he would say, do you eat at home? Do you eat at home? Because if you don't feed yourself and eat the corn of the land, you know what? The manna stuff, that's not teaching you anything about God. After a while, it becomes a rabbit's foot. It becomes fairy dust. Come on, I've been there. I know exactly what it feels like. You know, after a while, you think, if I just pray right or I squeeze my muscles right, when I pray, God will hear me more, and then maybe he'll bring me some more manna like a little dog. If I dance just right, he'll give me a biscuit. You know, after a while, it becomes so maddening to live and wonder if he's going to come through or not, when all the time he's bringing us into a straight line of conquest, and he wants us to eat the corn of the land. Listen, Joshua 5 verse 1 says, when the day they ate of the new corn of the land, the enemies of God had terror struck in their hearts. They had no terror struck in their hearts about the people of God when they were in circularity, eating manna. Didn't offend the devil, didn't make any assault against Satan himself. All the enemies of Israel were safe as long as they were eating manna and having their church service in circularity in the wilderness. But as soon as they broke that circularity and stepped into the promised land, my God, the enemies of God became terrified. As soon as they ate the corn of the land and they began to harvest their talents and their gifts and abilities in new ways, the manna stopped, the former way of provision stopped, and all things became new. I want to encourage you, there's a season of change that we've stepped into. We've stepped into a vortex of change. And by the way, this has nothing to do with you. Nothing you can do is going to make the manna time be prolonged another minute. It's just God tends to prophetically announce through his people. You'll hear this message all over the body of Christ right now. They just call it a different thing. I wanted to use the manna mentality and Canaan mentality because I think you'll take that with you. I want you to think of manna as a miracle provision in need, but eating of the corn of the land is God's best intent for us. God wants us to have our best life now. Joaquin, how would Joel say it? God bless Pastor Joel. He's right. God wants the best for us. And we've been surviving with the good. And the Lord says, I know you've almost worshiped the means by which I bring manna to you, but we're breaking that. We're stopping that. And it's going to be a little intimidating, but it's okay. Manna blessings have expiration dates on them. Now, this isn't to say that every friend that you have in your life is manna and now they're all going to go away from you and leave you. No, but some may. There are manna ministries that have been minerals and vitamins on the radio to you, or you've been reading ministries books, or you've maybe been in a movement in the body of Christ, and that movement was everything in your life, and God brought it to you, but it was only for a temporary feeding to cause you to survive in the wilderness. It's not going to take you into the promised land. It's not the new corn of the land that you're going to eat. Oh, loved one. You know, I've had a little vision in my heart for about the last... I would say about the last 4 months. And the vision is we're all walking sort of in the wilderness and we're seeing the same landscape. And all of a sudden there was no line. There was no borderline. I didn't see anything. I just felt the Lord say, oh, you're already in the new land. And I'm thinking, no, there's still sand everywhere. There's cactuses everywhere. It looks, the terrain looks the same, but it isn't the same. We've crossed over into a new season. We've crossed over into a new time. We're not going to, we're there right now. Just keep walking. Just keep walking, but have an open heart. Say, Lord, provide for me any way you choose, but I would rather find my destiny. I would rather eat of the corn of the land. Eating of the corn of the land means you arriving at your destiny for you, not someone else's idea of who you are, not someone else's opinion of who you are, not who you've been to people, but what you are destined uniquely to do. And that is not a circularity wilderness manna person. Miracles are great, but they don't transform lives. Listen, when God did miracles in the Old Testament, did you know what? It didn't have the mass effect of conversion. It had the mass effect of prompting disillusionment. Philip Yancey wrote a book called Where is God When It Hurts? Old book, wonderful book. Talk about evil and suffering. And Yancey says, you know, when God is silent, we curse him for his silence. When he begins to move in the miraculous, like in the Bible, we curse him for daring to intrude upon our own human autonomy. He's damned if he does. He's damned if he doesn't. If he doesn't provide our way, we curse him and say he's non-existent. If he does intrude, how dare a God intrude and place moral standards upon me that I must obey? So he's raining manna upon a murmuring people all the time. He's providing for us. Thank God for his mercy. You wouldn't be sitting here today if it wasn't for the mercy of God. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. And by the way, the manna was a fitting type of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. I originated from heaven, sent by the grace of the Father to a murmuring and unworthy and ungrateful people, white, pure in all things, who came by grace and brought life to the world. So there's a powerful type and shadow in manna. But for us, practically speaking, we don't want any more manna when God wants us to eat of the corn of the land. Can you say amen to that? I don't want any more manna when it's time for me to harvest my talents, my gifts, my abilities, my destiny. I don't want to eat somebody else's ministry. I don't want to be over enmeshed in somebody else's anointing and somebody else's leadership and somebody else's gift and talent and ability when I am to be called to walk in my own. It's an exciting time. But you know what? Change is always difficult for all of us. But God will bring us from a manna mentality to a Canaan mentality. He is bringing us into a straight line of conquest. So before it happens, Isaiah chapter 42 said, "Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things do I declare, and before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Just know where we are in the map of the mall of our life. We're moving into a Canaan place. What does it mean? I don't know what it means to you. But be open for God to provide in new ways. Be willing to get your harvesting tools out. Manna was just received, but it took the marshaling of tools and sweat and talent. But listen, they went from the manna provision to a land flowing with milk and honey. I think many of us have been toiling by the sweat of our brow and getting very little from the cursed earth. But that's good, but it's not God's best. Father, we thank you that you are moving in our world, and you are moving in our hearts, in our families, in our lives. Lord, we thank you that a God who provided a million tons of manna on an annual basis for 40 years can meet our needs. But Lord, we want more. We don't want to just be a people that are taking temporary things and trying to make them permanent. We want to go into the promised land, eat of the new corn of the land, and then, Lord, forever let sink behind us the former ways of your provision and lead us all into new lands flowing with milk and honey that don't need to be pumped and worked and sweat over, but where we can all find a flow of momentum in and through our lives for your glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Give him some praise right there. Give the Lord some praise.